Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello once again and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes, and I'm so honored that you decided to make this program a part of your day. This week, we are going to look at the Mass readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, we're getting sort of near the end of the church year, or the liturgical year, if you want to call it that. Only got a few weeks left to go. This is the 30th Sunday. There are 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time. Then the church tacks on a 34th Sunday, technically, which is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we're 4 weeks away from the end of the church year, and at that point, what we do is we begin again by going into the season of Advent. So a new liturgical liturgical year, begins in just about a few weeks. So we're going to hear some reminders in the next few weeks about, the fact that this life is temporary. Because what happens is the church at the end of the church year starts to remind us of the fact that, this life on earth, it's not all there is. So we want to get ready, which launches us into the season of Advent. Get ready because the Lord's either going to come again at the second coming, right? Or we are going to meet him at the end of our life if it happens before the second coming. So the church just wants to make sure we've got this on our mind. I tell you this just so you have in mind where we're going and you don't panic when you hear some of these readings in the next few weeks. It's more of a, for lack of a better phrase, an end times message. I mean, look, we know it's coming, right? So shouldn't we be prepared? But I don't like to do the doom and gloom thing with you because it can be a little ominous. But really what we're talking about is recognizing that we have all fallen short. Boy, I do that every day. Of what the Lord has in mind for us. And then here's the good news about all this. Since we still have time, the fact that you and I were able to discuss these readings, we're able to talk to one another, that shows that we still have time. It's not too late. So therefore, what are we going to do about it, right? What changes with God's grace helping us are we going to make so that we are ready? That's why the church presents this message, especially toward the end of the church year, and why you and I get together and talk once a week about these readings, so that we can let the Holy Spirit open our hearts and let God's word sink into our soul, and then we respond. That's what we do. The Holy Spirit opens up our heart, the Lord speaks to us through the scriptures, and then we have to make that response. So you'll hear some things today. And today's message, it's not a tough one. It's actually a very hopeful one. And what I call the theme of today's show and today's readings, it will get better. I mean, that's pretty positive, right? That should make you feel good. Whatever is going on in your life, it will get better. Now, I'm going to talk about what I mean when I say that. Doesn't mean all your problems will go away. But it will get better. I think that's something we all need to really sink our teeth into today. And I think that's totally possible. It's a message that's very attractive, isn't it? So we'll talk about that. This is, again, the readings. We'll focus on the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And we'll start with the gospel, and as we do each week. And I think you're going to see a very positive and uplifting and comforting message emerge. At least that's my hope. All right. So I hope you can stick around for the entire show while we get to it. Hey, why don't we pray? And then we'll talk more on the other side of the prayer. So let's, before we pray, let's just pause for a minute and place ourselves in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are all with us right now. We might not be able to see them, but they are with us. Let's begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, it's so good to be back with you and be able to have this dialogue with you, Father. Father, we know that you can see us right now. We know that you love us. We know that you are more powerful than any problem that we can ever face. So whatever it is that we are going through right now, whatever is causing us to feel burdened or maybe even hopeless, we remember now as we turn to you in prayer, whether we feel it or not, we remember that you're bigger. You are bigger than any problem we can ever face. Plus, you love us. That is a great combination. And plus, you're with us. So, Father, with that in mind, we lift up all of our problems to you right now. We pray for the grace to see you in everything that happens to us. We pray for the grace to see you in everyone that we meet. And we pray for an increase in the virtue of hope, that we can truly believe that whatever we're going through, whatever emptiness or loneliness we're experiencing right now, we pray that we can truly believe through the help of your grace that it will get better. Things will get better. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks so much for praying with me. And you know, the funny thing about prayer, I don't know if you call it funny, but the interesting thing about prayer. Now, when I said those words right now, they were coming from the heart. I was praying with you in mind, you know, praying for all of us. And I really believe through faith, not through feeling, that those words made a difference somehow. Whether your heart was open, whether the Lord is opening other people's hearts, whether the Lord is intervening in whatever it is you're facing right now, I don't know. I don't know how he's going to respond, but I firmly believe. Again, even though I didn't necessarily feel anything, and I share that with you because I want to make sure that you don't get discouraged when you pray and you don't feel anything, or maybe even feel uneasy or have doubts. They're feelings. Feelings aren't right or wrong. That's not what I say. That's what the church says. So feelings or passions as they're referred to in the catechism, they're not right or wrong. They're simply feelings. Now, sometimes our feelings are indicative of something going wrong inside of us. It's possible that our feelings can show that we have a weak faith or that we're placing our trust in the wrong things. It is possible. But for the most part, what's more important is not what you feel. What's more important is what you do with those feelings. So when I pray, despite the fact that I may feel nothing, sometimes I feel something, sometimes I don't. When I pray, and I'm asking God to help me, or to help you, it doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is that I believed enough in the power of prayer and God's goodness to turn to him and ask for help. That's enough to set his power in motion, right? It's not a matter of feeling. It's not a matter of getting the words right. It's not a matter of the number of words. It's a matter of having the right attitude. Again, no matter how you feel, my attitude is I believe God's all powerful. He can help out and he loves us. So I'm going to ask him for help. That's really all you need for God to start working miracles in your life. And if you need a miracle, he's going to give you a miracle. You know, Sometimes these miracles that we get, they're, I would call them ordinary miracles. It sounds like a bit of a paradox, but there's a lot of these miracles in life that take place that we might not view them as miracles, but they're every bit as miraculous as somebody who is crippled being able to get up and walk, or somebody who has terminal cancer being healed. And it's only through faith that we really feel that. So let me be honest with you about something. I didn't plan to say what I just said, but I feel the Holy Spirit is working through me. I always like to ask the Spirit to work through me as I have these conversations with you. And I believe the Spirit wanted me to tell you that. So I hope I did good. Anyway, it's so good to be back with you here for another week of the Gary Zimak Show. Thank you so much for making this program a part of your day. It really means a lot to me. I thank you for your emails. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your financial contributions to my full-time ministry. I am so, so, so grateful for all that you do to help me out. And I pray for you every day. I really do. If you want to find out more information about my work, if you would like to find out more information about my work, there you go, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, make sure you sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, which is totally free of charge. And also, why don't you consider picking up a copy of my latest book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. That book is published by the Word Among Us Press. It's my first book with them. And the book, essentially, it's a guide to how you can find peace and happiness by knowing, loving, and serving God. And it's something that I've wanted to write for a long time. It's not an overly complicated book, but I believe there's a lot of substance in there, a lot of things that might really help you in your relationship with the Lord. So that's followingthetruth.com. You can find many things at my website. You can find all my books there. You can find some video samples of talks that I've given. You can also find out how to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference. So followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I'm going to take a sip of my water. I got a nice big glass of water today. Let me tell you a story. Today is, it's really strange. Over the past week, my allergies have been really bad, and I don't know why. It's fall. I live in New Jersey. You wouldn't think allergies are bad this time of year, but I've noticed that over the summer, they're bad, they're good. It just doesn't seem, I can't put my finger on what's causing these allergies to kick up. It's frustrating, but if I sound a little nasally, that's the reason. But I have this glass of water to keep me going, just in case my voice decides to give out. All right, let's get to these readings now. Again, we're going to be looking at the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. They're not overly lengthy this week. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit as we begin to open our hearts and our minds as we listen to these words inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to work on us to help deliver the message and really give us ways to apply it. More importantly than hearing it and just saying, well, that's a really good point, let's look, or that's really interesting, let's look for ways to respond. Let's apply this message in our daily lives, okay? And I always try to do that or give you some ideas, but you might get an idea that I'm not mentioning. You know, that's a beautiful thing about Scripture. The Lord speaks to us where we are. So you and I could hear the same readings and get a slightly different takeaway. That's good. As long as it doesn't conflict with anything the church teaches, that's perfectly fine. The gospel is from Mark chapter 10. We'll start with the gospel as I do each week. Verses 46 through 52. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd. So you see, Jesus is attracting some followers. Not only does he have his disciples with him, he's got this crowd. Maybe these are people who are on the fringes. They're not sure about his message, but they're hanging out with him because they're seeing some miraculous healings taking place. They're hearing what he has to say, and they're intrigued enough to follow him. And as they were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, a blind man, son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. So here's somebody that is excluded. You know, he's a blind man, can't help himself. All he can do is beg. And for some reason, He is there, and his path just happens to cross with Jesus. And I say that sort of in a facetious manner, because there are no accidents when it comes to Jesus. One of the beautiful things about our Lord is he's always reaching out to those people who just can't help themselves, to the ones that nobody else wants to seem to help. That could be you and me. So I'm going to look at myself as Bartimaeus. I'm sitting by the roadside begging. I'm begging for money, technically. I mean, that's what Bartimaeus would be begging for. But the Lord's about to give me something even more powerful. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Bartimaeus began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Have pity on me." He was asking Jesus to have pity on him. And listen to this part. "Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he kept calling out all the more, 'Son of David, have pity on me.'" You know, you're always going to have the naysayers in life, the people who are telling you, "Why do you have such strong faith? You're being naive. You're burying your head in the sand. Jesus can't help you with this problem. This is a money problem. This is a worldly problem." And these people who tell you that, they're missing the point. Because Jesus can help us with all of our problems, no matter what you are facing. When you invite Jesus into your life, it will get better in some way. Bartimaeus was unfazed by these people, and he kept calling out, "Son of David, have pity on me." What happened? Jesus stopped, and he said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." So all of a sudden now the Jesus gets involved and is calling Bartimaeus. Then these people who have been telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, now all of a sudden they're saying, "Hey, take courage, he's calling you." You know, so now all of a sudden they're supporting Bartimaeus. Well, a minute ago they were just telling him to be quiet. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Okay, so Bartimaeus threw aside his cloak. He sprang up and he came to Jesus. Now remember, he can't even see. He threw off his cloak, jumped up, sprang up. He's not taking his time. He is ecstatic. And he came to Jesus somehow, even though we can't see. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. Now, you know, like, this is an amazing story. And this is a supernatural occurrence, a miracle, a physical miracle. Bartimaeus is healed of blindness. Jesus can do that. So it's not just spiritual healings that he can do. He could do physical healings as well. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But this is where I want to go with this. In order to follow Jesus, Bartimaeus needed to be able to see, because that would have been a hindrance to his following of Jesus. In this case, Jesus had to remove the blindness so that Bartimaeus could get up and follow him. And he did that. Bartimaeus may have been feeling hopeless that day, but he had enough hope to believe that if he reached out to Jesus, in spite of the obstacles being the people telling him to be quiet, the obstacle of the fact that he couldn't see, Bartimaeus believed that if he reached out to Jesus and invited Jesus into his problem, into his mess, if you want to call it that, that things would get better. And they did. And that's what you and I need to believe today, too. Whatever your area of mess is, whatever's holding you back, whatever's weighing you down, Jesus is fully capable of removing it in some way or changing your heart so that it's no longer an obstacle and preventing you from following him. That's what you need to believe today. Let's look at the first reading and we'll see a connection here. First reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 through 9. Thus says the Lord, shout with joy for Jacob, exult at the head of the nations. Proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world, with the blind and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road, so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. This first reading has to do with the people of Israel being deported or being taken captive. This is known as the Babylonian captivity. And speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord sent a message to them that this is going to get better. They would be held captive in Babylon for 70 years. But at some point, they were going to be allowed to return to their homeland. See, there's that hope that it will get better message. Bartimaeus knew that through the intervention of the Lord Jesus, things could get better in his life. And that's what happened through the prophet Jeremiah. Previous to this, this is what, Jeremiah 31, a couple of chapters earlier in Jeremiah 29, he delivers the message to the people that the Lord is going to liberate you. You're going to go back to your homeland. It's going to get better. It's going to take 70 years, but it's going to get better. And I think that's the message that we have to get from looking at the gospel in the first reading today. There's hope. Whatever it is you're facing, you might not be physically blind. Maybe you are. But whatever is holding you captive right now, in the case of Bartimaeus, the blindness, in case of the citizens of Judah who were taken to Babylon, they were being held captive in a foreign land. You know, so there was something holding them back, something in the way of freedom. And every one of us has something. It might be anxiety. It might be sin. It could be financial difficulties. Every one of us has something. It could be physical ailments, whatever it is. If we turn to the Lord and ask for that liberation to free us, to lift the burden from us in some way and at some time, I don't know when, but he's going to answer. The trick is, do we have faith enough? Again, not based on feelings, but do we have faith enough to act and say, Lord, please help me? You can do that no matter how you feel. You look at this first reading, you look at the gospel, and you see there are results. Now let's look at the psalm and we'll see further support for this theory. Psalm 126, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, that's the people we were reading about in the first reading, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. This life, it's not perfect. This life is not heaven. We are going to have some degree of suffering in this life. We can also, and this is the good news, have some degree, a pretty great degree, if you ask me, of peace, even in the midst of that suffering. Will it be perfect? No, the happiness we find in this world is imperfect because this world is not perfect. It's not heaven. But we can, if we connect with Jesus, be taken to a level of happiness and peace that is far beyond anything we can get without him. What it takes, though, is to reach out to him and ask for that help. Lord, please help me. Please help me with this struggle. And go ahead and ask for him to cure your illness. Go ahead and ask for him to restore your financial situation. Ask him to intervene because your kids no longer go to church anymore. Ask him to help out. I don't know exactly how he will answer, but I know he will answer in the best way possible. Let's look at the second reading. It comes from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Brothers and sisters, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so for this reason must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In this same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you." Just as he says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, the connection is somewhat blurred with the second reading, the connection to the gospel and the first reading, but there's something there. Christ was sent by the Father into our fallen world to make reparation for our sin, to repair the damage that was done through original sin, and to reunite us with the Father. That is an absolute gift. It's one that we could never thank him enough for because it's so unbelievable. But sometimes we lose sight of just how important that is, because really what it does is affect our life in the next life. What he did opened up the gates of heaven so we can live forever in heaven. But what about now? What about if I'm suffering now and I'm burdened by trials and tribulations? This is where the good news can filter down. We might have to make it trickle down a little bit. And that's why I called this show this week, "It Will Get Better." Yes, the gates of heaven are open. We are able to live forever in heaven by virtue of what Christ did on the cross. But those anxieties that you're feeling right now, the stress that you're dealing with every day, he also wants to lift that burden from you. He might not physically take that burden away, but he wants to give you the peace beyond which surpasses all understanding, that peace to deal with whatever it is that you're facing. Are you willing to give him a chance? I recommend you do, and I do not think you'll be disappointed. I can't believe it. We are just about out of time today. I want to thank you for hanging out with me on the Gary Zimak Show. If you have questions, gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And finally, before we go, I just want to let you know that donations have been down. So if you're able to help me out financially, I would just urge you to please consider visiting followingthetruth.com and making either a one-time contribution or becoming a monthly sponsor of my work so I can keep doing this and sharing the good news on a full-time basis. I thank you so much for that. I'm praying for you, and God willing, I'll see you next week right here on the Gary Zimak Show. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.